there's still miles, I reckon, about 15 minutes to go. I couldn't believe it. They must have, they started slightly late, but the second half didn't begin until 4:05. And there has been quite a few injuries. At the moment, as you said, 18-12. At one stage, after about 15 minutes, it looked as if Leinster could have gone home. It was 15-0 at that stage. They were blown away at the very start, but typical Leinster came back and three penalties after half-time brought them up to 15-12. And then they did have a try, but Nigel Owens went back to referee. And unfortunately, from a ruck situation, one of the Leinster boys held Rougerive down, and he couldn't get up, and it created a space for the guy to go through for the try. So it mean it, you would feel a bit badly done by disallowed, but to be fair, when you saw it, there definitely was obstruction, and that was unfortunate. And from that, they then got a penalty to make it 18-12. But they're still in this game very much so. As I said, the French started off absolutely, you'd have thought. But typical, they didn't keep it going, and Leinster, in their usual way, come back, and it's still up for grabs, Miles, at the moment.
We'll return you. First of all, we'll stay with that theme, because Munster playing yesterday against Saracens in the other semi-final at the Viva Stadium. I suppose when Munster didn't put points on the board when they were slightly on top in the first half, it was going to be Saracens' day in the second half.
Yeah, Saracens are a team that even when you do put points against them, they are a team that are never beaten until the final whistle goes, and they showed that very much so yesterday. And in that second half, really, try as Munster could, Saracens were too strong and got too many points for them. And to be honest with you, looking at Leinster and Kerman today, with the being played at Murrayfield and not obviously in the heat conditions that Leinster are under today, you'd have to think that Saracens again would look pretty favourites to win that. They're a very good all-round side. They're not the most attractive side to watch, Miles, at times, but that's not what the game's about. The game is about winning, and the one thing that they do is they take the points when they're on offer, which other teams don't do. They kick their penalties and they make very few mistakes, and you can't really do much wrong.
Yeah, they've got a big, powerful team, and bringing on internationals as subs from the bench, they're very difficult to play against.
Oh, they are. There's no doubt about it. And, Mark McCall, who's the last Ulster coach to win the Pro 12, and people tend to forget about that. And McCall has went to Saracens along with Brendan Venter. And, I think if you were looking at the moment, as for consistency of coaches in England, McCall is right up there, because over the last 7-8 years he has developed a tremendous squad, and they are a team that week in week out seemed to be just a good sleeping. Last week they were 25-3 down to Northampton, and they still come back to win it, and that's the sort of attitude they have. And they're not known as the street dogs for no reason, Miles.
Would you give most, if not all, of the credit to Mark McCall, and where do you think he might be going next?
Well, Brendan Venter was there along with him at the time. McCall was actually very, very highly rated here in Ulster. As I say, he did so well. He was quite young, of course, to go into that particular sphere. And I think, people tend to forget it. Unfortunately, he was injured, but McCall was captain of Ulster the year they won the Heineken Cup. Although he, as I said, he was injured. He was never the biggest of players as a centre, but I think it was about 14 caps for Ireland and was a very, very good player. But he's a very astute guy. When you see him interviewed, he's not one of those people that you'd rush to listen to, but, I suppose a man a few words sometimes is much better than somebody has too much to say.
Well, some have too much to say, and that can be a problem, there's no doubt about that, but he's obviously doing the business and has them playing, obviously, well, for themselves, for each other, but obviously for him as well, because they do put in the effort over the 80 minutes each Saturday.
Oh yeah, that's a great consistency. They're never beaten, and you just can't afford to make any mistakes against them. That's the thing about it.
In relation to Munster yesterday, were you disappointed, or are Munster just not down the road as far as Saracens are? Because Saracens are defending champions. I think is it 5 semi-finals in a row they've been in? You probably have to get to that stage before you can actually maybe make the final and win.
I think, you know, maybe we were expecting maybe too much from the Munster side. I mean, O'Mahony going off didn't help either, in a sense. And Conor Murray, of course, was a big drawback. Although, to be fair to Duncan Williams, he played well. But the one thing I found strange last night when I watched the game over again was the amount of box kicking that Duncan Williams did.
Yeah.
And it was quite amazing what went on. Just as we speak here, Gary Ringrose has scored a superb try for Leinster, and I think that brings it back now to 21. I'll just see now in a wee second.
You told us it was 18-12 now.
I think they extended it, but I mean, Ringrose there getting the ball on the halfway line, a superb individual score. Very reminiscent, if you think back to the Brian O'Driscoll try against Toulouse many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he certainly there was set. If Warren Gavin's watching, I'm sure he'll be delighted to see that what's happened. But that is an excellent score. And I think if it was 21-12, that would bring it up to 21-17, Miles. But I'll keep you informed when I see what happens here.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, back to that Munster thing, you know, there's still a long way to go, but they seem to overdo the kicking game yesterday. Maybe that was part and parcel that they wanted to keep Saracens in the back foot. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's been a sort of a great run for them, considering the sadness of the first match whenever poor Anthony Foley passed away. And, you know, it would have been lovely, in a sense, as a memory to him. But I think, to be honest, the way they have played throughout the thing is a tribute to his coaching as much as anything.
It certainly is, and they're back up with the big boys, let's put it that way, and they probably will have to strengthen, because, look, it's 15 players, it's 8 on the bench, and the 8 on the bench need to be as good as the players. You really need a big, big panel.
Well, you do, and of course you see with the effects of the, well, not saying the effects, but I mean, obviously the IRF, you do a great job, Miles, but don't forget all the provinces can only have 4 overseas players. I mean, Saracens can have 21 South Africans if they want, as can all these other teams. I mean, that's why the French are so strong, they're bringing them in from virtually everywhere. I mean, you know, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and that's a big drawback. And in such a small country, in a sense, you know, natural talent's not just going to come through in abundance. And again, that's something they have to do. But having said that, I think the provinces have all acquitted themselves well and in the Champions Cup. But when you're up against the money bags, man, it's very, very difficult.
It is. So are you maybe suggesting that down the road that it's going to be more and more difficult for an Irish province to win the Champions Cup?
Well, if all these so-called millionaires or billionaires, Miles, take over these clubs, especially in France, and I mean, there's a few clubs in England who are not short of a pound or two either. You know, you can see the clubs in England that don't have the financial things like Bristol, for instance, Newcastle, you know, Sale. You know, those teams struggle every year in that particular league, and there's only maybe 5 or 6 of the big boys that are competing every year. At the moment, I should say, there's 69 minutes gone, Claremont leading by 21-19, so a penalty now from Johnny Sexton would be very handy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even a drop goal, but 3 points in some shape or form.
Exactly.
I think yesterday, going back to the Munster game, there was a stage when Munster tried so hard to get over the Saracens line, they failed, and Blyndal had to go for a drop kick attempt. So and you know, there's only 3 points, whereas they were, I don't know, 10 or 12 behind at the time. So it kind of showed that Munster really hadn't the flair to get the try that was needed.
That was it. No, they certainly in the second half, Miles, they didn't really threaten the Saracens line. But I mean, the Saracens defence is absolutely rock solid, and as I said, they take advantage of every mistake that's made. And you know, I think whether it was disappointing by their performance, you know, you have to take it in a sense that it's, you know, when you look at the way Saracens have beaten Toulon, the way they've beaten a lot of the teams in the Premiership, it's no disgrace the Munster performance yesterday. And a lot of those young guys that you talked about will have learnt a lot from it, playing against such experienced players and playing against a lot of streetwise people who they will have picked up a few ideas about.
I'm sure they will. Let's turn our attention to near home, All-Ireland League qualifiers round robin competition. Oma taking on Clonmel. Oma 25, Clonmel 13. Great victory for Oma. That leaves them in a playoff situation now against Boyne to get into the All-Ireland Division 2C.
tremendous performance, Miles, because, I mean, Clonmel, before the round robin started, they were the ones that everybody seemed to be talking about. And as I said, I didn't realise until yesterday, Dennis Leamy, the former Munster and Ireland player, he's been coaching for the last 2 years with a couple of assistants, and they helped. I mean, they took this competition very serious, and they were serious contenders. Malahide, they seemed to prove themselves. Now, the first game against Oma, they won that game, but Oma gave them a good run for their money and could easily have a losing bonus point. But then they beat Clonmel, and Malahide now are up. Although they again, when we're talking, they have got a lot of players that were former senior players this year to play for them. But I mean, as I said, yesterday was a tremendous performance. I mean, after 18 minutes, I mean, Oma were 14-0. 14-3 up, two very, very good scores, and at one stage it was 19-3, but then there was a case in point just before half-time, whenever Clonmel, for the first time for a while, forced a 5-metre scrum near the post, and on the first put-in, the scrum slewed round, and all of a sudden the referee ran in under the post and gave a penalty try. Now, it did seem a very, very harsh decision. I was talking actually to the referee assessor who was there yesterday, and all he said was, I wouldn't have awarded it. But I mean, having said that, it was 19-10, and you knew the difference it made, because the first 10 minutes of the second half, Clonmel looked a different side. But to be fair, Oma held out, and I think I said in my report, there was a 5-minute spell just about the hour mark where they were encamped on the Oma line. I mean, it was pick and drive, pick and drive, pick and drive. And eventually, one of the Oma boys turned it over. Don't know who it was, but he should have been. He obviously was the hero last night. They forced themselves upfield. And really, in the last 15 minutes, they played really, really well and forced two penalties, which the right half, Lee Murphy, converted both. So 25-13, and a very, very successful day for the Oma club. Tremendous crowd there, Miles, at the game. Oma invited me up to their dinner before the game, and there were 160 people at it, which, as I said to some of the Oma boys, I doubt if there's any club in Ireland could get 160 people to dinner at this time of the year. But the enthusiasm, and as I say, a lot of the players who were in the team that played back about 15 years ago when they were in AIL for about 3 years, they were all up more or less all together as well. So it was a real day to get together. And of course, now they're planning to go to Boyne next Saturday. Win or lose, I think they can turn around and say it's been a great season. And certainly they'll look back on this one with, very, very, very happy.
I'm sure they will, yeah. What's the story on Boyne? They're coming from Division 2C.
They finished second bottom, Miles, and they would still have a bit of experience. And it's very hard to judge. It's very hard to judge, what they actually would entail. But, the pressure's on them in a sense. Oma are going down there really with nothing to lose. They've achieved something they probably never thought at the start of the season would ever happen. Even whenever they won the Ulster Premiership one, I'm sure they didn't think they'd won two games in the round robin. And, there's nothing to play for. And certainly if they play with the freedom they have, the one facet they might have is their scrum. A scrum would be a wee bit slightly weak, but their line-out and their loose play is tremendous. The Spore brothers and the two second rows in Big Catterston, number 8, big men, 6'4", but these are guys who run like athletes, and tremendous to watch. And young Murphy at scrum half, McKay and their scrum half are a very, very good partnership at halfback. So, they'll go down there, they've nothing to lose, and as I say, the pressure's in Boyne, they're a senior club, they'll want to retain that. Home at the moment are quite happy in a sense to be still in Ulster Championship. They have no worries about things happening. So anything for them next Saturday is a bonus.
It's a bonus, all right. Well, last week you picked the Irish men that would be on the Lions, British and Irish Lions team. You got 11 at 11. You said there'd be 11 on. There were 11 on, but there was one of them that I suppose skipped out of your radar, Jared Payne.
Exactly. And Miles, just before we say that, Kermit Avern have kicked a penalty there. Sorry, because they are playing in blue jerseys, it's confusing at times. Kermit Avern have kicked a penalty there, and I think that now puts them 5 ahead, but I'll maybe see in a minute or two. But, you were saying, but just before you mentioned about the Lions, Miles, before I forget, I have it down here in my notes. to congratulate Cavan. Cavan were at the Kingspan yesterday in the Gordon West Cup final, and they were playing against the PSNI. Now, Cavan haven't really set the world alight in that Ulster Championship 3, but yesterday at Ravenhill they beat the PSNI, and I'm sure they'll be down in Cavan last night. There was many celebrations, and it's great to see a young, not a young club, but a club, you know, that struggles quite a bit. Travel-wise, they have to do a lot of miles, and it's great to see that a lot of those guys had a chance to play at the Kingspan and walk away with a trophy. So I'd like to congratulate Cavan on that performance.
Yeah, well done to Cavan, is right.
But that one you mentioned about the thing, yeah, the funny thing was, Miles, I never even thought about Jared Payne, because you tend to think that he's still a New Zealander. You forget at times. I know he's had a lot of injuries, but it does make sense, because a fit Jared Payne at the moment, I would think, would be pushing very hard for a 15 jersey on the Lions trip. He knows the environment of New Zealand. He knows the psyche of New Zealand and all the rest of it. And I think it's a very good pick as regards Scotland. Could update the Miles, 27-19 now to Leinster, and we're in the 77th minute. So it's going to take a lot now in the last couple of minutes for Leinster to get a result there.
Yeah, I think it was a Lopez drop goal, as far as I know, that got that last 3 points.
That took them up to that. The 21-19, they must have got another penalty. So it was those two penalties have made the difference. But, I mean, it's great to see all the players. Ringrose was the one that we mentioned that it didn't get there. But I would be very surprised, and especially after that try score today. If he wasn't up the pecking order, I would think he's even further up now, because there will be injuries. Donoghue Ryan, of course, who mentioned, I think he would still be in the frame as regards that. Keith Ayres, in a sense, too, I would think he'll be in the replacements. But overall, Miles, I suppose, I know there was a lot of controversy about only the two Scottish players, but, well, one of the Scottish centre, Hugh Jones, if he had not been injured, I think he possibly would have gone. But, you know, it's very difficult to argue some of the Scottish forwards. Certainly one of the Gray brothers, you would think, is a bit unlucky. But again, he could be in the replacements. But believe you me, Miles, there's 10 games to be played in New Zealand, and there's a lot of rugby to be played before they even get on the plane going to New Zealand. So there will be a lot of injuries to that. The only ones I couldn't understand was Jonathan Davis in the centre, because he's really done very little, I see, this year. Although Gatlin likes big 16-stone centres. Halpenny, who was a star in Australia 4 years ago, I mean, he will not be on the side. Therefore, you know, you have enough kickers with Johnny Sexton and Owen Farrell, I would have thought, to suffice.
Yeah, it's a bit surprising, because that seems to be where the focus was, that he was a star, but not the star anymore. He hasn't played particularly well this year.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't been. You know, he was a great player at that time, but, you know, so, well, with Stuart Hogg there, for instance, and Jared Payne, you'd have to think overall those two guys would be ahead of him. Forget the kicking side of it, but with Farrell and Sexton, you know, I think that suffices for the kicking, because you can only have two kick. If Sexton and Farrell will probably play if they're both fit in the test side, so it gives a great option for both players to do it. But, you know, it was a few surprises. We're delighted to see actually the young Welsh guy, Ross Moriarty, been selected, you know, because I know Wales didn't particularly play all that well, but he was quite outstanding, especially the game against Ireland and the game against that they beat England, and or not beat England, beat Wales. Or not Wales, sorry, I'll get it right yet. The one they beat Ireland, and then there was another game, I think it was a French game. And, you know, he's only 23 years of age, but he will be a more than useful guy come the Wednesday game, or the Tuesday or Wednesday games, Miles, because, you know, you can't afford on a tour like this to lose to any of the Super 50 or Super 16 teams, because, believe you me, those guys who will be going out on a Tuesday every week against the Lions, I mean, this is their test match. They'll never get an opportunity again to play against the Lions, and they will be out to prove themselves and make the most of it. So, you know, it's good to see Moriarty being selected there. Warbert is captain. I didn't get my Rory Best right, Miles, but
no, well,
I'm thinking he'll be captain at some stage during the tour of something, because Warburton is managing his knee, he said. And that seems strange to me. The other thing is, and I've been chatting to quite a lot of people, and there's very few people actually at this moment in time, if you were picking the Lions at the moment, that Warburton would actually start the game You know, I think most of, if you look at it objectively, Miles, for me, the back row at the moment would be Vinopolo at number 8. It would be Peter O'Mahony blindside and Justin Tifrick openside. And CJ Stander would be very close as well. But that, to me, is a back row that you would want against New Zealand. You've got the hardness, the physicality, and you've got Tupric, who, for me, is probably as good all-round player as there is about.
Mm-hmm. We're coming to the news. We can tell you it's all over. Claremont have won 27 points to 22. Johnny Sexton did kick a penalty there, but Claremont in the final against Saracens in Edinburgh.
It'll be interesting, Miles, but for well, it was, I mean, concerning, you know, to get two Irish provinces in the last four, you can't, I mean, I think Irish rugby still in a very, very good situation.
It sure is. Alec, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
And, Miles.